This is Dr. L. Schlepp, take one.
The planning of Duke North involved over 275 people directly, and virtually every member of the staff, every employee indirectly. Patients were interviewed, medical staff, the employees in various areas were all consulted at one point or another, sometimes without realizing that they were being consulted, about what the problems in the existing Duke Hospital were, about how we could correct these problems in the planning of the new Duke Hospital North Division. Approximately 50 or 54 committees were formally constructed to work on the planning of various areas in Duke Hospital North. As a result of all of this input, the building now under construction was conceived, detailed, put into working drawings, and will be ready for patients in 1979. Some of the problems that were highlighted through these various discussions revolved around the environment in which endured, and that's a bad word.
Yeah.
Around which the environment in which the patient lived during his hospital experience, whether as an inpatient or an outpatient. Environmental problems for the physician who was working with the patient. Environmental problems for the rest of the hospital employees who either directly or indirectly deal with the patient's problems and needs. One of the biggest problems defined by these various review groups probably resulted from the fact that the existing Duke Hospital has been built in bits and pieces, starting with the original hospital designed during the 1920s, additions made during the 1940s, 1950s, resulting in a hospital 75% of whose beds were actually designed prior to the 1950s. Needless to say, the concept of outpatient care, the concept of inpatient care, has changed radically in the last 20 or 25 years, so that we were determined to do everything we could to avoid some of the problems that were so clearly identified in the existing hospital, in this new hospital. The hospital had, because of its size, the hospital had to be located at some distance from the existing hospital. And we spent a lot of time addressing communication problems, transportation problems, and even very pedestrian problems of how you walk from one building, from the existing building, to the new Duke Hospital North. The concept of the new building was finally determined to be subdivided into three functional areas, three primary functional areas. There are the bed towers, in which the patients will be housed. Everything was done in these areas to accommodate the needs of the patients and those people who were working directly with the patients, whether they were students, whether they were members of the dietary service, or whether they were members of the medical service. A central core was designed which would handle the major vertical transportation throughout the building, and which would also be the core unit through which one passed from the bed tower area to what we call the ancillary support building. The ancillary support building was conceived.
That becomes confusing. It sounds like another building. Could you call it a section or something? Because we're saying we're building one building.
Oh, okay. I forget where I was. The bed towers lead into a core section which handles all of the vertical transportation throughout the building, and which also connects the bed tower portion of the building with what we call the ancillary support section of the building. The ancillary section of the building is considered to be the area in which functions are performed which are most likely to be subjected to technological change, areas which are most likely to have to be revised, rearranged, subject to equipment exchanges in the years to come. This portion of the building houses the X-ray department, the operating rooms, the cardiac diagnostic unit, special areas which are high technology areas. In looking at the total building, considerable attention was also paid to systems concepts, the problems of energy conservation, the problems of minimizing downtime periods in function in both the bed tower areas and the support departments were addressed in detail. As you come into the building, you enter through a wide lobby section which has an information desk to which the visitor or entering patient is automatically directed, and from which he can be led to his destination in the building. This lobby section leads past from the lobby area. You are automatically led to an information desk at which the visitor or incoming patient will be given directions to his destination. Past the information desk, you move through some support areas. There's a gift shop. For those who need a last-minute gift for a patient, there are hospital administration support offices there for persons with concerns about individual patients or problems relating to the hospitalization. You're led directly to a bank of elevators, which face the visitor or incoming patient, and which are restricted for the use of visitors and incoming patients. If you are going up to the third or fourth level, the elevator lets you out into an area which will direct you into a patient care unit. And a member of the admitting staff will escort you to your room. In the bed towers, the carpets and the walls are color-coded so as to assist the visitor or the patient in moving from one area to another. The inpatient units are designed so that every patient will have a single bedroom with all of the technical and non-technical support devices that will facilitate his care. Each of the patient care units has all of its support immediately central to the bedrooms. These support areas include locker rooms for the employees, lounge areas for their breaks. The support areas include similar areas for medical and nursing students and for house officers. Each of the core areas is supplied with conference rooms so that it will never be necessary for the physicians to be discussing medical aspects of a case in a corridor. They will always be within reasonable reach of a small workroom or conference room in which they can hold such discussions.
I don't know where to go next.
If you think of yourself as a patient in the hospital, what are the things that concern you? You're concerned about your medical care, of course, but you're also concerned about accessibility to aid and assistance. This is provided through a very sophisticated communication system between each of the patient rooms and the nurses' workstations. You're concerned sooner or later, particularly when you're feeling better, about your food. In the design of this hospital, it was decided that the food should be pre-prepared and should be available when the patient is ready for the food rather than at a fixed time each day. So the food is heated and brought directly to the patient's room when the patient is in his room and ready for his meal. It does not stand on a table waiting for the patient to get back to his room. When you are in the hospital, you are necessarily going to be going through a number of tests. If you have to go to X-ray, you will be taken to the X-ray area through a dedicated bank of elevators in the central core area. When you came into the hospital, you came in and used a set of visitors' elevators. As a patient in the hospital, you are taken back to the central core area, but you enter a different bank of elevators and are taken down to the X-ray department and directly into the X-ray department without having to worry about being in the same elevator with many strangers, visitors, people who are not directly concerned with your care. One of the floors in the bed tower is somewhat unusual. This is the children's floor. The children's floor is designed so that there are essentially three different areas. One area is designed for infants to up and children up to 6 years of age. Another area is designed for the 6 to 12 year old. And a third area is designed for the teenager. In this unit, for example, there is a convenient music room that the ambulatory teenage patient can use for recreation. Each one of these areas is outfitted and scaled to suit the age patient housed in the area. The pediatrician's offices are convenient on this floor and close to the patient because of the extraordinary needs that the pediatric patient frequently has. The whole of the fifth floor, both in the bed tower area and in the ancillary building, is designed for the care of children. In looking at the support.
Did you mention something about the provision for having parents sleep there?
I forgot.
In addition, you're going to be an expert splicer. An additional concern related to the children's area was to make certain that we had provision in the rooms for the parent to stay with the child if this seemed desirable or necessary, so that each of the children's rooms is sized to accommodate a bed for one of the parents to stay in the room with the child during part or all of his hospitalization. We've mentioned some of the systems that support the building. The major system that you see in the building is really a movement system. This system includes corridors as well as elevators. It includes, for example, vacuum chutes into which used linens and discarded materials are placed, and the vacuum chute directly moves this material behind walls, you never see it, down to the loading dock area. Similarly, in the bed towers, all materials are brought up to the bed tower and taken from the bed tower areas by means of dedicated elevators. These elevators are located in the bed towers. We've mentioned the core elevators.
Does somebody in the outer world know what dedicated means?
Sure.
Do you know what a dedicated elevator is?
I think of it. Well, it's one that's named after the person that...
Oh, no. Okay. Restricted. Do you know what restricted means?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I got to hear it, I think. I don't know where I left it. Similarly, in the bed towers, there are elevators restricted for use in the movement of materials up to the patient care areas and down from the patient care areas. We had already mentioned the elevators in the core area. One bank of elevators is restricted for the use of visitors, incoming patients, staff. A separate bank of elevators is restricted for the movement of patients, whether ambulatory, in wheelchairs, or on stretchers. In the support section of the building, other restricted elevators are available. For example, there's an elevator which moves only between the emergency room and the operating room floor. There is no other use for the elevator other than to move an emergency patient out of the emergency room and directly to the operating floor. In the support building, we also have dedicated, restricted vertical transportation devices which move materials from a central processing area up to the operating room. There is a minimum of mixing of function, people, and materials as we could make it in this building. That may be a screwy sentence. My grammar sometimes goes to pot. In looking at other aspects of the building, as we mentioned earlier, considerable attention was paid to energy conservation in terms of the obvious things like tinted window glass, insulation, the usual things you think of in relation to energy conservation. But we also have an elaborate heat reclamation system so that heated air is not discarded from the building, but the heat is reclaimed and used to temper or modify air being delivered to different parts of the building. In the conservation of electricity, we are using our emergency generators to help handle our peak loads. The electrical system is designed to operate 90 to 95% of the time on a standard load. If that load should be exceeded, then the emergency generators come into play.
Can we say some more about the human aspect of this new hospital? Actually, is there anything in the location?
In addressing the problem of the patient area and the support areas, we looked at the patient area as being a fairly stable part of the building, an area of the building where we could accommodate the patient's needs in a relatively simple kind of structure. We used the core area to hook the patient area to a high technology area which houses all of the support departments, the operating rooms, the x-ray rooms, the emergency rooms. These latter areas are the ones where we were going to have a lot of technology change over the next decades. And the building is designed in such a way that we have essentially a bedroom structure connected to a circulation. The building is designed in such a way that we have a bedroom area, the patient care units, connected to a circulation core, which is directly connected to the high technology support building, which is the high technology support section. The ancillary building, which is essentially the ancillary section, the high technology area, is designed with 24-foot floor-to-ceiling heights, while the patient care unit is designed with 12-foot floor-to-ceiling heights. This gives us 8 to 10 feet in the ancillary area above the working areas in which we can house mechanical equipment which can be relatively easily changed. This, we feel, will give us the flexibility that will be needed over the coming decades to accommodate the changes in both the science and the art of medicine.
Period.